Good morning and welcome to our site as we continue this morning to meditate in the Ten Commandments that are given to us in Exodus chapter 20. We've reached the ninth commandment in our series, and so if you have your Bible, we're in Exodus chapter 20, and our text for today is in verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Please have your Bible handy, and we're going to be turning to several passages of Scripture today in our sermon on the ninth commandment. So if you have your Bible, that'll really be good. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit himself, the author of your word, may open up the truth to us as we meditate in your word. Thank you that every Scripture is God-breathed and useful, for teaching and correcting, reproving, instructing in righteousness, so that we can be all that you want us to be. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our hearts to your powerful word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Exodus chapter 20, and verse 16, the ninth commandment. I believe we can safely say that this commandment includes all forms of lying, from empty flattery to gross exaggeration. But it is, of course, designed to prevent slander and the perversion of justice. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, we are told, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Follow me in a progression that we find in the Bible. First of all, let's begin at the beginning. Offences against the truth are offences against God himself. That's what makes this commandment so serious. Of course, they're all serious, but that's what makes the ninth commandment so serious. Offences against the truth are offences against God himself. This is the essence of each person of the Trinity. God is the God of truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In fact, it is impossible for God to lie. He is a God of covenant, and his covenants and oaths are founded and grounded in truth. Untruth undermines God of covenant. The second thing to understand is that Satan, the devil, the evil one, the God of this world, small g, is a liar and the father of lies. He builds his vile kingdom on lies and deception, just like Putin has tried to do in conquering Ukraine. Lies, lies, lies. Every day the Russian people have to listen to lies. The first recorded lie is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, where the enemy came and tempted our first parents and said, "You will not surely die," when God had clearly said that the wage that their sin would reap would be death. And so Satan is the father of lies. Thirdly, as a result of the lies and deception of Satan, sin entered into the human race. We call that the fall. As a result of the fall, we read in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 and 25, if you'd like to turn with me now to the book of Romans in your Bible, the first chapter, and verse 18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth, by their wickedness." And then verse 25 of Romans chapter 1, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Then, fourthly, the true Christian is a person who has been redeemed by the truth of the gospel. The good news about Jesus is truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8 and verse 31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son of God sets you free, you will be free indeed." And then finally, in this progression of biblical revelation, we see that in the fifth place, the true Christian is a member of the body of Christ on earth, the Church of the Living God, and Timothy describes it as the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is the pillar and foundation of God's truth. The church on earth, the company of all true believers in Jesus, are entrusted with the truth, and they hold, therefore, the truth that is the foundation and pillar of all society. The truth of Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Jesus himself said, "I am the truth," and the church holds the body of truth about God, about man, about life, about eternity. God's word is truth, and the church is the company of believers who house, hold, and proclaim the truth as it is in God. In Leviticus 19 and verse 18, God's commandments are summarized into two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The ninth commandment is a natural consequence of the second great commandment that Jesus gave. First of all, love God. Second, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we love our neighbor, we will not bear false witness against him, especially in a court of law. That would equate to perjury. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, and I quote, you love this one, I think, "God has set two natural fences to keep the tongue in, first the teeth, then the lips. Now he adds a third, the ninth commandment. A perjured person is the devil's excrement." Oh my, what a quotation. That's telling it like it is. According to the Puritan Thomas Watson, lying is the devil defecating. How raw can you get? Jesus said it just as plainly, really. He said, "A false witness defiles a person." And literally and figuratively, a false witness is like a person who's messed in his pants. No such person has eternal life, says Jesus. A false witness defiles a person, and no such person has eternal life, the words of Jesus. In Proverbs 12 and verse 22, we read, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." The Lord detests lying lips. "Truth lies dead in the streets," said the prophet Jeremiah, centuries before Jesus came. He might as well have said it in the 21st century. Truth lies dead in the streets. The Bible says we're not to bear false witness against another, nor are we to bear false witness on behalf of another. On the positive side, we're to speak up for those who are victims of lying lips and do our best to vindicate them. In Exodus chapter 23, if you have your Bible before you, Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, "Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong when you give testimony in a lawsuit. Do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit." And then from verse 6, Exodus chapter 23, "Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge And do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty, says the Lord. Another thing, the Jews of Jesus' time were great on taking oaths. And in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks clearly to this issue. If you'd like to turn in your Bible now to the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 33. Again, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Well, the Apostle Paul has a word for us all, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 and 29. Would you like to turn there in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 25 and 29. Ephesians 4, 25 reads, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't let any unwholesome talk," verse 29, "come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let your words be like silver boxes," says France Littar in her excellent little book, Silver Boxes. If you've never read it, it's worth a read, all about our words that should be like silver boxes. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." What a lovely verse. "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." So the Bible says, don't just abstain from bearing false witness. Always speak the truth in love. Well, let's face it, friends, from the very beginnings of Christianity, Christians have been the victims of slander and false witness. One thinks of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And here, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 14, the story of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. We read in Acts chapter 6, and from verse 8, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God.' So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses. They produced false witnesses who testified, 'This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. We've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs handed down to Moses.' They stirred up false witnesses who testified against Stephen." How often that has happened in the history of the church. Now, of course, no one has ever been the victim of false witnesses more than our Lord Jesus Christ. he was crucified on the grounds of false testimony. And yet we read in the first letter of Peter and chapter 2 and verse 23, when they heard insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted him to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. One of the enemy's great weapons against the Christian church, as against Jesus, the head of the church, is false witness. God knows that a reputation unsmirched by evil is a precious thing, and it is his will and purpose that no man or woman's reputation should be blackened by false or evil report. Friends, reputation can be best understood when you compare it with the word character. Character is what a person is in the core of his being. Reputation is the estimate formed by others. Now, we have little or no control over another person's character, but we can besmirch their reputation, and the ninth commandment forbids that. We need to take care of our character and then simply trust God with our reputation. Whatever others may say about us, as followers of Jesus, we are to relate to one another in sincerity and in truth. You see, the problem is if you tell a lie, you have to live with the lie. Living with a lie is not a nice way to live. It's hard to live with a person that you cannot trust, especially if that person is you. Lying is a sin, and the wage that sin pays is destruction. The Bible says liars die inwardly. Lying is a sure recipe for unhappiness. Let Selwyn Hughes suggested 7 ways in which we can violate the ninth commandment, and we bring our meditation today to a close by mentioning those things. Thank you, Selwyn Hughes. The first is libel or slander. Lies which are written or spoken about someone and passed on with a malicious intention. It's hard to think of a worse form of bearing false witness than this, libel and slander. Second form of bearing false witness is tale-bearing. This is when someone repeats a story about someone else where there's no necessity to do so. How sad that scores of Christians who would never dream of committing murder, adultery, or theft engage in this deadly sin of gossiping. A third form of bearing false witness is through the giving of a false impression. A stigma has been cast upon many a person's reputation by such questions as, "Have you heard about so-and-so?" "No," says the other person. "Oh, well, the least said the better." Though the first speaker may be drawn no further, an unfavorable impression has been created, and the innuendo has had the deceiving effect of false witness. In the name of God, I say to the Christian church, such things ought not to be. Fourth way is silence. If we hear someone being slandered, and we know the words being said are not true, then if we keep silent, we are as guilty of the sin of false witness as the person who uttered the slander. A fifth way is by imputing to a person a wrong motive. "Have you heard how well Brother so-and-so is doing in business? Ah, but how do you think he's got on where he is? Don't you think he must have been involved in some shady business practices?" "I have no hesitation," says Selwyn Hughes, "in saying that to impute to another an ulterior, selfish, or sordid motive is to bear false witness against that person." A sixth way is flattery, to tell people things you do not believe to be true simply to please them, or to pander to their vanity, or win them over to your side in some issue, is a sin against those people and a sin against God. The seventh way in which we can break the ninth commandment is by untrue testimonial. Whenever we utter unwarranted praise or give a testimonial to a character that is untrue, or recommend an unsuitable person simply because he or she is a friend, we inflict injury upon the one requesting the testimonial. I'm sure you see by now a subtle danger. What a subtle danger false witness is. Every violation of truth, it is a desecration of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And there's no meaner form of rebellion against God and against one's fellow human beings than that of creating the impression in the minds of others that is simply not true. And so, Father, help us. Help us to see the reason why you are straight with us, and because you love us too much to let us get away with things that demean character and reputation. Save us, Lord, from telling lies, from spreading lies, or living a lie. In Jesus' name we pray. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.